Today on the Bitcoin Nova, I'm joined by a freeborn farmer and stats scholar for my first panel. This is an engaging conversation about protecting the soul of Bitcoin, understanding what it means to be a good Bitcoin citizen, and what a Bitcoin node is and how it's not hard to run one. I have freeborn farmer here today and stats scholar with me. We are going to be discussing the soul of Bitcoin, and it is a very important conversation. It is something that we always stand by, and we defend, you know, the decentralization and security of Bitcoin and what Bitcoin means to us and why we fight for that decentralization. And I think that we have a lot to cover today as far as understanding what's happening in the world today that's happening with Core and Knots and understanding all that stuff, but also just, you know, how we... One thing I was thinking was we are so early in Bitcoin, we always tell people, but being early isn't just about the price. It means we are also in early in defending decentralization. So that's something that I think is very important. So if you guys could introduce yourselves, Freeborn, you could go first.
Thanks, Stacey. It's great to be back on the podcast with you. The Bitcoin Nova has grown so much. Like every time I come on, you're at a whole new level, and it's just awesome to see that. It's a super important voice in Bitcoin, and it's awesome to be here with Sats Scholar as well. We've had so many good conversations on X and Spaces, and I just think that this will be a great opportunity for the three of us to look at Bitcoin from some different perspectives that are all grounded in the same foundation or similar foundations. For me as a farmer, my life is really based around building sustainable systems that support a sovereign lifestyle and contribute to local economies and resilient systems. So Bitcoin really for me came in after I'd already participated in those types of systems. And what I really like about it is that it provides a basis for economic trade between peers that is decentralized, that's unmanipulated. There's no one controlling it. And when I think about ecosystems or ecology, you know, that root word of eco is just means home. And so we're studying the home, we're measuring the home and the health of it by our interactions with neighbors, with the world around us. And the modern globalized, centralized economy, we've turned our home into a manipulated system that's really guided by lies, greed, power. And Bitcoin removes those things, or Bitcoin, I should say, has the ability to remove those things. And as you said, we're so early, and so we're still building the foundations of this system. And so I think these conversations about what is Bitcoin, how does it come into our lives, and what benefits does it bring into our lives are so important to have right now, because those foundations that we build at this point will be a part of this Bitcoin system forever.
Right.
As one has just recently had a son, he's now 11 weeks old. These thoughts are really foremost and central in my mind because of that idea of future generations, and that what we're building now creates what they will have available to them in the future. I've been stacking sats for my son since he was still in the womb. So he's got far longer than 11 weeks of stacking history. And I know that that'll continue for as long as he lives. So I have a lot of faith in the Bitcoin system. I believe it truly does have the ability to fix many of the problems that we've constructed for ourselves in this world. And I appreciate the strength of the conversation on both sides, because I think it'll give us the ability to come to some novel ideas that have some compromise, while also further strengthening those ideals that we hold so strongly within ourselves. So thanks for having us here for the conversation.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for that amazing, you know, recap of who you are and why Bitcoin is important to you and how you've always been about decentralization far before you found out about Bitcoin. So that's incredible. And then we also have Stats Scholar here today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what the soul of Bitcoin means to you?
Hey, guys, I'm Sats Scholar on X. And people like to say I'm like a Bitcoin expert. I'm not. People think I am, but
yes, he is. He is an expert in Bitcoin.
I don't know about that. My voice is a little hoarse, so excuse me. I'd like to share Bitcoin knowledge. I like to share my opinions on Bitcoin and try to teach people certain aspects of Bitcoin that may or may not be out there. Not as tutorials, but just tidbits, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're very knowledge, even though you don't think you are. Sometimes you don't think as much of yourself as other people do, but you've been talking to us about these ideas in the Bitcoin Army. And now that we've started these spaces, we've started doing spaces every day, like somebody else is hosting constantly. And this conversation has come up a lot about keeping Bitcoin decentralized. And, you know, you have been up there talking with, you know, the core developers, like main core developers that are joining us in the conversation, and you're holding your own against, you know, some of the ideas or misconceptions that Bitcoin Core is kind of pushing. But it's at the same time, I agree with Freeborn that there will be some sort of compromise. Everyone does care about Bitcoin. People just have a different idea of what's best for Bitcoin and the network going forward. But my idea about it, and I could be wrong, but I think of it as if what Bitcoin Core did was a lot of people were upset by the way that they said that they were going to do this update and didn't really ask too much of the rest of the community. They just said, we're doing it. And that's not how Bitcoin works. It should be a consensus and everyone should agree. And there should have been more talks beforehand and figuring out the best way forward for everybody. But just because they're the biggest, they said, well, we're doing this. And that didn't sit well with many people. And I think that if they were to have waited, let's say 10 years to say, hey, we're going to make a change, maybe everyone would have just kind of sat on the sidelines and let Bitcoin Core grow bigger and bigger. And one thing that I think is crazy is we only have like 1-3% of the population in Bitcoin right now. So it is early, like we always say. But as billions of people get onboarded and this thing becomes, you know, a global store of value and mass adoption happens, you know, we're going to have all these people join the network, let's say in the next 10 years. And if Core would have just grown to be the biggest, these changes could be implemented and nobody really could stop that, right? But because this happened now, it's perfect because it'll just allow for more node running companies. Like we have Core right now Knots right now that's the biggest. But I look at it as, and this is a good tie to Freeborn, because it's like an analogy with nature, because I think of like a sapling or like a tree growing and like it splits, you know. So we have Core and then we have Knots, which is the biggest, but I know there's a few other companies right now running nodes. And it's kind of like that early stage of the forest blooming and growing. Like it's like Core was like that one tree, but now you're having other, you know, little trees sprout up, and like it's going to be a diverse ecosystem, like you said. You were talking about ecosystems. So it just feels like how in the early mining days, and I could be wrong, you can, Sats would know more if my ideas are a little wild, but
real quick, I want to talk about multi-sig Bitcoin custody. The Bitcoin Advisor helps you understand what it is and why it's important. Scan my code for more info or click the link in the comments. Wearing Satoshis is a signal to the outside world. Michael Saylor says, just buy Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the strategy. Use my link below for 10% off your Satoshis.
Wild, but the early mining days was just a few computers. It wasn't very decentralized. It would have been easy to take over the network. But with these companies running the nodes, I think this conversation will bring forth more people running nodes. So as this, as Bitcoin becomes globally adopted, the there could be more education to teach people to run their own node and why how important it is, so that there isn't one company implementing changes in the future before we could stop it. So yeah, tell me how you what your thoughts are about that, Sats.
Well, Sats, go ahead.
I'd like to just add on to what Stacey asked, because just recently I saw a post, I think it was from Nova Noodle, from some of the spaces about identifying as a Bitcoin citizen. And I really liked that, because that's that communal aspect. And so I was wondering, as you answer Stacy's question, could you also just touch on the importance of some of those aspects of Bitcoin citizenship, which were running nodes, mining, interacting through peer-to-peer transactions? And I don't remember all of them. If you guys remember some of those others, there were five or six things that were all kind of centered around becoming like a fully active Bitcoiner. Mm-hmm. And why is that important to do? And how does that help strengthen the system that all of us are participating in?
Well, I didn't see that post, but I would probably largely agree with it. Being a Bitcoiner and being a participant within the system is, I think, necessary. People that just purchase it on an exchange and leave it on the exchange, you know, to myself and in my opinion, I would not call them Bitcoiners, no matter how fervent of the ideology they would be. I would like to echo what you're saying about foundations, right? Because what we're trying to do with Bitcoin, and this would play into the citizen ideal, is we're trying to build new foundations for society, right? The foundations of society have cracks. They're worn and crumbling. Mm-hmm. And this happens, right? Whether you want to call it the fourth turning, or maybe it's, you know, more than that, right? Maybe this is a 1,000-year turning, right? Civilizations have issues and they break down and they must be rebuilt from time to time. It's just part of nature with humanity. And Bitcoin is serving as part of the mortar for the new civilizations going forward. And of that, right, we're looking at our future generation. So what does that mean, right? And what does it mean to take that as a citizenship? Well, I have a daughter as well. Freeborn is a young boy. I know Stacy has some children. This is something that we're building for them, right? Gone are the days, at least for Bitcoiners, where, you know, we say, you know what, I'm not thinking about the kids. I'm not building with the kids. No, I want to build a better world for children, for my mm-hmm. children, for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. And because of that, what does that mean? Well, when you're building a foundation and you're creating something, you have to be a steward of that, right? And you, just like with your farm, right? You are the steward of your land, and you must be a good steward. If you're not a good steward, your land will decay and rot. And with it, the ability for you to farm on that land will decay and rot as well. And then your ability to provide for your future generations goes down. It's dominoes. It's just dominoes. They just, one after another, they just collapse, right? And because of that,
stewardship and citizenship is hand in hand.
What's that?
Stewardship and citizenship.
Go ahead. Like, yeah, 100%. They do. You know, it's and you know, just like to your country, like you should be a good steward of your country. You should be a good steward of your ideologies. And are we being a good steward of Bitcoin? That's the question that I've had in the back of my head with all of these debates. I've not really brought that forward yet via a thread or a discussion. But like, what does it mean to be a steward of Bitcoin, to participate with it and steward it properly? And people probably disagree with that. Like, what does it mean? How, you know, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. What do you mean by a steward? Are you trying to put your values onto Bitcoin? Maybe not. I'm not sure about that yet. That's why I haven't really brought this up yet. But this is a 1,000-year network, right? Mm-hmm. It's a 1,000-year network. So if I want this 1,000-year network to propagate into the future for generations to come, then I should steward it as such. That's
what
how
do you mean by a 1,000-year network?
Well, you know, monetary systems usually have quite a long track record. I mean, you look at silver and gold, they were about 1,000 years. Before that, you know, barter and trading was about 1,000 years. So if this becomes a dominant system, whether it is actually Bitcoin or not, but let's say just digital hard money becomes the dominant system going forward, then we're looking at 1,000-year change, you know, with society. And it's about, well, I think like 100 generations, 125 generations. And that makes sense, right? So if we're building this and we're going to make it as a 1,000-year network, how do I want to perceive a 1,000-year network in the future? And that's a hard thing because it's impossible really to think about what 1,000 years from now is going to look like. The ancient Romans would have had no idea that we would be able to sit there and speak to people on other sides of the planet on pieces of glass, basically.
Right.
That's a concept that's fundamentally impossible for them to understand. And likewise, it's fundamentally impossible for me to understand the future even 20 years from now, let alone 100 or 1,000.
Right.
But that doesn't
especially
mean I
because
shouldn't...
this growth accelerates too on
right.
top of
right. Yeah. The growth is going to accelerate. The technology is going to accelerate. I mean, Moore's law seems to be, you know, unstoppable. And along those lines, we're going to now have to have something that's incorruptible. And so that's right. incorruptible hard money. You have to have that to have your 1,000-year network, and you have to have your 1,000-year network to make your foundations, and you have to be a good steward of those. So it's kind of like going down the chain.
That's why I think when you hear Jeff Booth speak, and he constantly reiterates that as long as Bitcoin stays decentralized and secure, he always says that. And it does, he doesn't just say Bitcoin won, period. He's like, as long as this happens, you know, it'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll, you know, so it's like he reminds people, this is like a, something that he just keeps repeating. So it's because we need to be these good citizens. We need to be stewardships of Bitcoin or stewards of Bitcoin. And I hate to admit it that up until recently, I wasn't a real Bitcoiner because I wasn't, doing those things. I just thought, you know, like so many that Bitcoin already won, you know, and I do feel like it will because Bitcoiners are Bitcoin. We are a swarm of cyber hornets. You know, that's what the network is, right? So we defend the network by doing the work. You know, you have to put in the work to, because it also kind of reminds me of a talk I had with Tomer Strohlite where, you know, we are in symbiosis with Bitcoin. So we're working with Bitcoin together. You know, we both have a mutual benefit for this thing to work, but we have to work for it. You know, we can't just let it go and think it's, we have to defend it. We have to continue to make it decentralized.
Yeah, we have to keep doing. I mean, people forget they think that it's just this like magical AI sentient thing, and it's not, right? It's people, you know. Yeah, so if you're not mining it, it dies. If you're not running nodes, it dies. If you're not exchanging with it, it dies, right? We have to do these things. Nothing in the world of man exists without man furthering its progression. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. Whether it's cars or trains or whatever, like we're doing these things. If we stop doing these things, and you look at all these industries in the past, right, whatever they may be, or even ideologies, philosophies, the moment people stop talking about them or stewarding them, they disappear. And you know, Freeborn with his farm and doing that, I'm sure he could speak to that about the loss of farmland that this country has seen in the last several generations. And it's the same thing. You know, you would go back 100 years from now, you know, certain states were clear cut for farm, and the amount of bountiful food that they created was amazing. If you told somebody, listen, man, in 100 years, there's not going to be a single farm here. It's all just going to be, you know, large mega corporations. They would have called you crazy. They would like, that's not possible. But now look, that's exactly what happened because people, they stopped being stewards of their land.
Yes. And that's
so
why
much of that sets comes from a similar ideal of trying to maximize productivity rather than build foundations for long-term sustainable growth.
100%.
And so, you know, we've put so many artificial, you know, fertilizers to improve productivity, and then herbicides or pesticides to reduce competition, you know, all of these different inputs that we put in attempts to make it easier to reduce competition and improve productivity. But what it does is it focuses on short-term gains over long-term resiliency. And eventually you get to where the only people that can afford to maintain this type of productivity are those centralized big money players. Ties very closely into what a centralized, you know, node system on Bitcoin would look like. And also another interesting thing of what we're just discussing is this ties so closely into the biologist E.O. Wilson, who studied heavily superorganisms. He mostly focused on ants, but contemporaries of his, you know, they took his ideas and looked at bees and other largely insect groups that have hive colony structure. And when you look into these superorganisms, we'll look at, think of like a honeybee. The hive itself is an organism of its own.
Yeah.
It is a living and functioning thing, but it is made up of individual organisms, the bees themselves, each with their own model of productivity and contribution back to the hive. But the hive cannot exist without the individual bees, and the individual bee cannot exist without the hive. It's almost a symbiotic relationship made up of yourself and your communal self. And that is so akin to the Bitcoin system, the Bitcoin hive, made up of individual nodes and miners and users, all who are doing different things independently that build the strength of the hive, which is the whole Bitcoin system, through decentralized activity and provision of their time and energy to that greater system. It does follow natural tendencies, if not laws, that are replicable through other organisms that succeed through an unselfish provision of work into that greater system.
That is so well put. And that's why you're, you know, what Sats was saying, you know, ties in so perfectly with what you were saying, because Bitcoin is nature, right? Like, it is a symbiotic relationship. It mimics nature. And when you think about what you were saying about corporations and corporate greed and making things easier, they think they're doing it to benefit humanity, because they are like, oh, this will be easier for people. It'll be convenient. It'll be faster. All these things that you think you're doing for the good of people, you're centralizing nature. You're taking away from farming and how food should be grown and community should be built. So you're stripping all of that, and then it causes sickness and it causes your society to be sick. So when you think of Bitcoin Core trying to say, well, we're doing this because we think it's good for the system, it reminds you of that, like a corporate structure trying to take over farming and nature and trying to reshape it because they think it's for the better, or the, you know, the faster, the more efficient, the, you know, something that's going to be better for people in the big picture. But really, it's just causing sickness, you know. So it just reminds you, like, will it end up being like the food system and stripping nature away from, because Bitcoin is like that symbiotic nature idea right now, you know, and that's what we want to preserve.
Yeah, 100%. And along the lines of all that, with, you know, how this is going to go forward, I mean, we're probably looking at, this is just my opinion, right? This is just my opinion. But I think what we're seeing is the early shakes of what's possibly coming is a governance model change in Bitcoin. You know, again, this is a 1,000-year asset, right? It's a 1,000-year network. Are we really going to just have PRs on GitHub be with axe and nax be the primary form of governance for 1,000 years? Most likely not, right? And I think we're seeing the first rattles of what that change is going to be. I have no idea what the future governance models are going to look like. I can't even begin to imagine. I don't think it's going to be fully democratic. Like, I don't think people are going to have like a voting system on their nodes where, you know, code changes are, you know, seminally distributed to thousands of nodes, and then who decides to implement those or not determines of whether or not it's a full community-wide consensus change. And then all know, I don't think it's going to be some sort of like voting thing like that, but it is most likely going to change. And for various reasons as well. Like, do you see GitHub being here for 1,000 years? No.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? It's how we're talking about the Bitcoin citizen idea. And I think that on like next week or this might, I don't know when this will be posted compared to when the space will run, but there's supposed to be a space coming up with one of my guests that's his name's Sal Pineda, but he's a politician and like a lifelong diplomat. And he talks about Bitcoin being this layer, this underpinning of you know, the government, because it's a fragile system with the fiat system that's underpinning it right now. So he's very excited. And that's what I want. Like, our politicians right now have zero, like, it's all greed and there's no excitement about it. But I think when you think about a governance system in Bitcoin, and you think about Bitcoiners who are now going to infiltrate government really and reshape policy to teach governments that Bitcoin is a good layer to add to their, you know, their states and their cities, to just have be able to save money the proper way going forward, so you're not stolen by inflation. But having this from a political stance, it would just mean like a lot of people that are excited about Bitcoin, that there's another cyber hornet entering another layer. It's like these policy changes could be another part of the spectrum of Bitcoiners that are involved in strengthening that. So yeah, if you have people who have an interest at a not like a centralized level, I don't mean, but I just mean that, you know, yes, it's going to get bigger, and it is going to get, I mean, literally, we're so early. So when you think about, we're so early in the fight being so early, and more people spreading this conversation of how they should be a good Bitcoin citizen, which is one of his ideas, you know, that's hopeful going forward, to see that this is the root of this new thing being built, you know, this new, like, realizing that we can't just let it go and rely on GitHub, like you said, and, you know, just allow things to be taken over. Like, we have to keep contributing in however, whatever way we can. And whether that's you guys joining me, having this panel conversation, whether it's joining Spaces on X and teaching people who might not know what's going on, sharing your voice in whatever way you can, running a node, those are all ways that you can contribute, you know, to actually being a good Bitcoin citizen. So, I mean, this is just I love hearing about your idea about the government system being like, it can't possibly be the way that it will stay for 1,000 years. Like, I'm sure we'll see changes, and it's hard to imagine what that'll be.
Yeah, I wanted to say, you say something first, then I'll chime in, because I want to say something that I would like Freeborn's input on.
I was going to have a similar thing. I wanted to say, you know, we say 1-2% of the population hold Bitcoin, and then it's almost, you know, like 1% of Bitcoiners run nodes, or maybe even less. I mean, it's only about 20,000, 22,000 independent nodes out there. And so my question to you, Sats, is like, kind of, what is the importance of that small group of people? You know, what contribution are we making, and what role do you think, you know, us tiny group of node runners will have to the governance of this system?
Well, I think right now the importance of running the node is to steal the system from not only external methods of attack, right? So like you're literally, in my opinion, you're literally like a soldier. Right. Like when you're running a node, you're literally like a soldier on the front lines on this fight for sound money. Right. So that's number one.
And it's not really like it's an attack. It's a defense. You know, you're a soldier. That's like, you're like the 300, like the
correct. Yeah. You're like a shield. Exactly. Yeah. You're like a shield. You're a shield warrior. So that's number one. Number two, you know, it's not a vote per se. And I said that earlier, like people aren't, I don't think it's a voting system, but in a way it's a vote, right? It's a method of using your voice to signal things. And there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with that statement. It's just, you know, but that, and that's fine. But I think that it's a way to signal your voice. It's a way to signal your voice on not only the policy or the consensus, if there's a soft fork or something like that, but it's a way to signal your voice against the entrenched fiat systems. Right. If you're not okay with those systems, you're going to want to run a node. If you're okay with them, don't. So it really is this active participation. Right. So not having a node is meaning that you're not an active participant in this system, you know. So,
well, I want to ask you, because I want to know, am I doing it right? Because I don't know if I'm doing it right, and I want other people to know if they are not doing it right. Is this how easy it is? Because I thought it was so much harder, and it's not. It's not KNOT. It's not. Yeah. It's not that hard. But people think that Knots is like, they've heard something said about how Knots has more extra features than Core, and they think it sounds more complicated. And I guess it could be more complicated. But what I did was I had Core running on my computer, not recently, since I heard all this stuff going on. I'm like, I don't know if I want to be running, like, verifying the nodes through Core.
Yeah.
We haven't been running it. But then after all this stuff has been going on, I decided I'm going to go to bitcoinknots.org.
Yep.
And download it. And it will literally took like 10 seconds, I think. It was the fastest thing I've ever done. And it was, it's literally like, I think it's just, it almost looked like it was the same app. Like I had the Bitcoin Core.
Knots is Core. Like,
yeah.
Knots
so
is
it
Core.
Just, it literally just switched and it says Knots now on top.
Yeah.
But it looks like the same thing. It took like 10 seconds. I'm not joking. So I'm like, it was the easiest thing ever. And then it said it was 44 weeks behind. I let it run for a few hours, whatever, like less. Like it was pretty quick to catch up on the blocks. And then you could just have it running in the background, right? Is that contributing?
That's the first step. I mean, that's the first step. There's even I think that's contributing. I know Luke Dashert doesn't agree with that. It's one of the things that him and I have a disagreement on. But he's not wrong when he says this, right? Use the node, right? I think just running a node is not just enough in totality, right? But it's enough to just get on the network, right? Like just get on the network, right? So to me, that's enough in that sense. But that's your first step. But the next step would then be use it. Like actually use your node, send and sign transactions, and be a physical part, not just an ethereal part of the network, if that makes sense.
So if I wanted, I see that it has the option for a Bitcoin wallet there. So do you, when you want to verify transactions yourself, so when you have Bitcoin being sent from your wallet, let's say, and you want to send it to someone else or anything, do you send it to the wallet on Knots?
And then you,
from there, you send it out?
I wouldn't do that. I mean, I would recommend that people don't use the node as a wallet because, you know, you're it's on your computer, right?
And
computer is online, so just assume that it's compromised.
But only, like, what I'm saying is don't use it as a wallet, like storing Bitcoin there, but as an intermediary for sending.
Well, that's exactly your node is. Yeah, your node is your think about it like a mailbox, right? Your node is a mailbox. That's cool. You've got a mailbox. That means you have an address, right? But if you never send mail, what's the point of having a mailbox?
Okay.
So
but that's the whole point, is to send it there just to send it back out of there?
In and out.
In and out, right? So yeah. So you're not, so we're not taking the easy way out by like just copying someone's Bitcoin wallet and sending it. We're actually going through that mail center.
Right.
And then sending it back out. Okay.
Yeah. And that's how your node will, it will verify your transactions. If you don't, then you're trusting somebody else's node. Again, mailboxes. Give your mail to your neighbor. Hey, John, can you mail this out for me? He's probably going to mail it for you, right? He's probably going to, but will he?
So if somebody, let's say in my case, like I buy Bitcoin on, you know, the exchange, like I'll buy it on Strike or something.
Yeah.
So when I buy it on Strike, sending it to cold storage, instead of sending directly to cold storage from Strike, you would send it to your Knots mailbox and then send it to your cold storage that way?
Kind of. So you're...
Sorry, I just want to understand this because I know a lot of people probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure that they can learn how to do it. What's a good way to do it, how to do it, like simplified enough where they're not like, oh my God, I can't do that. Like, I want people to be able to do this.
BTC Sessions has like really good tutorials on exactly how to do it. But because it would be hard for me to just describe it and not show it how it's, you know, how to do it. But basically what you do is the node creates your receiving address, right? Mm-hmm. Your receiving address is tied to your hardware wallet. And so you're just going to send it to that. That's all you do. You just send it.
You
can create multiple. Like what I do is I create multiple receive addresses through the year, and I DCA through those. So I don't have to be like at my node, you know, creating the receive address every time I want to do it. The signing device, right, your hardware wallet, is there to create your XPub, which you load into things like Sparrow, which then you connect to your node, okay? Mm-hmm. And that allows you to then sign outbound transactions. So it's kind of the same in reverse. And
so which platforms, like, is it Sparrow, and are there other ones that
There's Nunchuck. There's other software wallets that are out there. And of course, there's a myriad of hardware wallets as well. Sparrow just seems to be the current community standard, let's just say.
Okay. So with Sparrow, when you're doing outbound, like from your hardware wallet, if you wanted to send out from there, you would connect Sparrow to your core, to your NATS.
Yeah. Or core. You would use what's called RPC. RPC is think of it like a little mini internet. You know, you could think of it like that. RPC is what allows Sparrow to connect to the node, and then Sparrow is what creates a transaction, or hardware wallet signs it, and then the node broadcasts it.
Nice. Okay.
Each one is a piece of the puzzle. Now, you don't have to do any of that. Your node can function completely as a wallet in and of itself, and there are people that do that. I would not recommend that, but, you know, hey, you do you. I don't want to yuck anybody's yum.
But yeah, I think people use Sparrow sometimes as like a place where they connect to, let's say, a cold card. So when you use Sparrow and you have a cold card, your Bitcoin is there, right? And it's connected to your cold card. But if you're not using a cold card and you have a different hardware device, maybe if you're using, what I think of it is, if you're using NATS as your mailbox, you aren't storing the Bitcoin on your mailbox, you know, you're just going through the mailbox. So I think that maybe the Sparrow, like, literally, like, people do that extra step when they do something like maybe cold card, because I think those two go hand in hand.
Sparrow is the envelope, and your signing device is the stamp.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Matthew Kratter's Bitcoin University has a really good step-by-step tutorial that I actually followed when I got my Jade wallet.
Oh, nice.
I just kind of watched it and paused it and then picked it up again. And he goes step-by-step right through it all to get your node, your Sparrow wallet, and your hardware wallet all set up. So, you know, if folks are wondering about that, below, it's a really good resource.
It's extremely simple. People think it's complicated, and it's not. If you can open a PDF on your computer,
it's not complicated.
If you can open a PDF, if you can send an email, you can completely utilize a full node. It's not, just like you're saying, when you downloaded it, you're like, oh wow, that's all I had to do. Yeah, that's it. Like,
that's what I'm going to title this. I'm going to say, run your own node. It's not complicated with
there
a
you go.
Yeah.
along those lines, that's one of the things that I've been kind of vocal about is the defaults, right? So like saying, like the nodes are powerful and they have configurabilities. Even Core has configurabilities, right? They all do. But most people don't touch those. Right. Mm. Most people don't touch the configurability options within their nodes, which is why defaults matter. And that's part of the other issues that's going is changing the defaults will change the default behavior of the network. Now, if we can educate people where people are, each individual user is configuring their node to their own aspects, then, you know, I could argue that defaults don't matter. But right now they do.
So when I'm running my you know, so a lot of people have lottery miners out there, like BitAxes. Does that connect to your, you know, your node? Because I wonder what I even have mine set up as. I have to look.
You can.
I know when I initially set it up, I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. And I think I set it up right. But I just want to make sure that if I'm running a node, does that go through, you know?
You can. Lottery mine with your own node using Datum. And then you get to then create your own block templates. You don't have to, but you can.
Those sound like a lot of words I need to figure out. You know, I'd have to look at a tutorial video for that. But yeah, any tutorial videos you guys have that we can link below for people so they can figure this out, because it's not that hard, right? So we're just gonna keep repeating that. We should just tell everybody it's easier than you think, at least to get started. You know, at least if you you know what I mean? If you don't do all the other stuff yet, but just get started with running that node, and then you can start to transact through that mailbox.
Exactly.
You know,
I don't know if you remember I think it was like the first space I did, you know, in early the maybe it was last year. I don't remember what it was, but I just, that's all I tried to get people to do. And it was like a fight throughout that entire space. I was like we were, we, you know, the fight between Core and Knots hadn't exploded yet. So I was just telling people to download Core. And like, at the end of the day, if you don't want to download Knots, you want to run Core, that's fine. I'd rather you run a node than no node.
Yeah. You could run any node.
Run any implementation you want. There's Bitcoin. There's all this stuff. I like Knots. I think that it's, again, I think Knots is, as of right now, the proper steward to Bitcoin. But you know, you can run whatever the heck you want. It doesn't matter. But
yeah, it's,
you know,
just
do it. Like, just download it. Like, just do it. Just
it's
start.
So cool. And it feels cool being like, oh, I'm running it in the background. It's not like it takes like all this computer power. You know, you could just have it on and it's just like verifies blocks on the network. But I love that you could use it, because when you send your own transaction, like, people talk about the idea of, if ever there was, let's say, censorship on a certain node, like, let's say, I don't know if this is how it works, but I'm just trying to understand this myself. And I'm not afraid to admit it. I call myself a Bitcoiner, but now I feel like I truly am a Bitcoiner. But I think that, you know, it's okay to admit that you don't know everything. And even though you've been in it for a long time, we're all trying to be better stewards and better citizens of this network. So I just think that when you run that node, it's, oh God, where was I even going with this? I got so distracted by being so good at being a Bitcoiner. Okay, I'll think of it. Go ahead. You guys can talk.
And I've got to go here pretty shortly. Sats, did you have a question that you were thinking of?
Yes, I did. Speaking of the governance models, right, and how, like, back to farming and things like that, and the politicians getting involved and that this kind of direction that we're going, and I would be dying to hear your input on some of that, because to me, I think that there's a lot of slippery slopes with that, and of allowing, you know, certain aspects certain aspects of the old system, right? Because in my opinion, they're incompatible with the new future that's coming, right? So having them try to exert governance onto this system, it's a moot point. And I would love to hear Freeborn's input on that.
I feel like we're offered opportunities to enslave ourselves, to poison ourselves, to detract from our health and sovereignty at every moment throughout the day. And that's the new approach. You know, you can't take rights from people. You can offer them the opportunity to give their rights away for some meager convenience or lie of time savings. You know, I mean, I just think of all the different things that we're offered that say save time, bring more convenience to your life, you know, make sure your refrigerator door is closed, like from a phone app or something. It's like, are we really, like, we're not capable of just like closing our own refrigerator doors anymore? And like, now we have to give up an entire map of every aspect of our home to, you know, a corporation for them to tell us so simple of a thing as we turned our oven off. You know, we just are given all these opportunities to give away our sovereignty. And, you know, and I, so as a farmer, I do it the hard way, you know. I mean, it's, we run this, I mean, with my wife taking care of our infant son, I mean, I'm out there on my own. I've got a part-time help that helps with like the morning and evening chores, but, and most things in my life, I like to try and do it the way you do it by hand.
Yeah.
And see if it's something I even want to give up. You know, a lot of times those are the aspects that are enjoyable parts of an activity.
Oh,
it's where the pride comes from. It's where the sense of accomplishment, it's where the learning of like that ecosystem, you know, it's by being fully engaged in a task is where you learn how that task fits into other things.
So
I'd recommend when it comes to those things, at least try to do things yourself, and that way you can decide if it's worth getting rid of.
Have you run into issues with? I didn't mean to cut you off. I know, I'm just trying to get this in before your time comes out. I'm sorry, I apologize. Mm-hmm. Have you run into issues with like John Deere with the right to repair and issues like that?
Well, my newest tractor is a 1984, and that one is actually it's a company called Belarus, and it was made in Russia, and it was specifically made to be able to be serviceable
That's
like
awesome.
in these,
That's
like
awesome,
these
man.
crazy remote areas.
That's
Other
great.
than that, like I have a John Deere tractor that's a 1970. And a
Wow.
Massey Ferguson that's a 69, and all of those you can order every part from a used, or a new part from like an old tractor site,
Yeah.
because there's, I mean, usually with like my 1969 tractor, I ripped out all the wires. It's like I don't work at night, so I don't need lights and things. There's a wire that goes from a button to the starter, into the battery, and that's it. These
Yeah.
new tractors are so
Oh yeah.
complicated
They're very
that
complicated.
you can't really work on them on your
No.
own. And it's the same with my vehicles, my farm trucks. I think about it all the time. I'm like, man, if these auto part dealers were to disappear overnight, you'd
Yeah.
just be forced to buy brand new stuff and I'd be out of business. So
That's why
it's
they
kind
make
of
it by
like
the
that
pound.
decentralization thing again. As
Yeah.
long as there's people out there providing services that they're well suited to, it benefits us all, and we need,
Oh, yeah.
a guy that's into 1960s tractors that keeps a full, line of parts on online and
Oh, yeah.
things like that.
I think we're going to see a resurgence too in local mom and pop machine shops. I don't I mean I make fun of like even Ford, like I like certain aspects of Ford, but like their taillights are CAN bus. Like why? Like why are my window regulators CAN bus? Like,
I don't
what are
know
we
what that
doing?
means, but I kind of
Oh, it's
understand what you're
they're
saying.
computer controlled. Like instead of the window regulator just being a power switch off of the battery to a regulator, or the lights literally just being a switch from the battery, they're controlled by the computer. So if you have a fault with the light, like you, it actually interacts with the PC. Or if you lose like part of your PC for whatever, water damage, any kind of issues, you lose your taillights. And it's like, and then the taillights are giant, pieces. You can't just change a bulb. It's a $500-$600 unit. It's ridiculous. And so like to me, all of this is connected, right? The
Well,
lack of
it's
the right to repair, the changes in governance models, Bitcoin coming out the way it is, the issues of ownership and things like
Well,
that.
this is why, oh my God, the way that you talk about this reminds me of why it's a slippery slope.
Yes.
Because when you think of CORE, the reason CORE is doing this is because they're trying to make it efficient, where efficiency and convenience leads to by design breakdown faster. So you guys have these things that you used to last forever, used to repair yourself, but then it breaks down and now you need a new product, and it's by design, so you can constantly be throwaway society buying new things. But when it comes to Bitcoin Core, it's like scary because they want to make it more efficient by not allowing all this spam that they call it on the chain. But then when you make this new change and then it breaks down, you think, well, let's just make another one. Let's make another one. And it's almost like if they're the main, if you go through the main company or whatever that's doing this, and they're huge and they're like a monopoly, then every time they make these changes, they're like, well, that didn't work. Now we'll make it this, and we'll then it's just forced upon you. You know what I mean? These changes are forced upon you. You don't have a choice. Just like how it is with things that are in this, things getting cheaper on purpose to make these changes easier and, and make you get a new tractor instead of just fixing it. It's like now it's a slippery slope in that aspect, I
It's
think,
all
because we're
connected.
going away from doing things yourself and working and, repairing things yourself. And, so yeah,
It's the
that's where you can have
subscription
this
as a
divide.
service, mentality that really every company that's traded on the stock market a few years ago basically had to go to subscriptions versus, software or hardware, because you need to show recurring revenue. You can't, like Microsoft can't just put out this awesome Office package and you buy it on a drive and put it on your computer and then you're good for 10 years, because that means they have one good year of sales and then they don't know what it's going to look like. They need you to be paying $100 a year or $1,250 a month or whatever. And same with these vehicles and tractors. It's, you know, just get a new one because you can't afford to fix it. So it's like we're already on a subscription for as a service for automobiles and appliances. And, you know, it's that fiat system playing games to make it look like they're churning along healthily, while in reality, it's a patient on a hospital bed with, you know, every line available and every medicine just getting pumped into it. And they're trying to tell you, look at how vibrant this is. It's just like, right. It's a dying system with like a never ending need for life support.
That's exactly right.
It's like trying to just pull the wool over your eyes. Like it's for your own benefit. It's for your own good. It's for your own convenience. Mm-hmm. But it's not like you need those things. Like, it's kind of like decay of like society in that way too, because, you know, like you said, it's good. Like you feel a sense of pride for doing the work. You feel a sense of strength for doing the work. You feel all these good things that are good for you for putting in the work. And Bitcoin is in that way, proof of work. It's like nature should be that way, but it strips people of these abilities as you move forward in society. So you feel more depressed. You feel sicker. You're not getting these benefits of putting in work in a way that makes you feel rewarded. You know, you don't get any of that.
Guys, I've got to go. This was super enjoyable. I would call it part one. And
part one.
This is awesome.
Right. I would love to do this again, because this is definitely like the most important topic we can talk about right now. There are more like other fascinating topics I like to talk about in Bitcoin, but this is definitely this is what we need to do, you know, and continue the conversation, teach more people. So thank you for joining me today. Thank you, Sats. You know, if you have anything else to say before he goes or.
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, awesome. Thank you guys so much. I can't wait to post this and share this. This has been incredible. I think people are really going to find so much value in it. Have a great day.
Thank you, Stacey.
Thanks, guys.
Great to see you.